This is Jordan Secchio with breaking news. Brand new legislation has been proposed in the U.S. Senate to provide vouchers to families during the pandemic so they can choose the right school or education program for their child.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Folks, we've got breaking news here. As you know, we have been taking on, there's over 1,000 families that have contacted the ACLJ in well over, I know over 25 states, probably closer to 30 now, who've contacted the ACLJ because of educational hardships their students in public schools will be facing because of the what plans have been announced, or there has been no plan announced, and we're dealing with those, you know, on a case-by-case basis individually because of those hardships different parents face, whether it's a special needs child, whether it's virtual school, but you don't have the internet access, the food programming, the child care issue if you've got working parents or single parent. And there's something even more absurd happening in Arizona that we're going to be talking about in the next segment of the broadcast with Corey DeAngelis. He is the school choice director at the Reason Foundation. He's also an adjunct fellow at the Cato Institute. You will not believe, unless you live in Mesa or Gilbert, and I think one other place now in Arizona is doing this, you will not believe what public schools have done and are doing to parents there. And we'll talk about that in the next segment with Corey. If you've got questions, 1-800-684-3110. But then, Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina and Chairman Lamar Alexander of Tennessee, he's the chairman of the Education Committee. They have put forward legislation to do pandemic vouchers, basically. So there's federal action now for us to support and for our government affairs team really to get behind. These are vouchers specifically during the pandemic so that parents will have the choice of where to send their students to school or homeschool funding if they need that, or to bring in tutors to their home if they have to do that. But it'd be a pandemic voucher.
Jordan, absolutely right. This is extremely encouraging news from the federal government. Honestly, Jordan, it's exactly what we have been asking them to do in this proposal. It's called the School Choice Now Act. It's put forward by, as you said, by Senator Scott, Chairman Lamar Alexander as well. And Jordan, there's a couple of components to this, but the most important one in my mind is what is called Emergency Education Freedom Grants. And these are dollars that would flow through the coronavirus stimulus funding, which is being worked on right now, to states to provide to scholarship granting entities. What does that mean, Jordan? It means that parents would be eligible to receive these funds from the federal government through their state entities to choose the schooling for their children of their choice. You're right. It can include homeschool. It can include private schools. It can include charter schools. Jordan, the total dollar amounts in this act would be 10% of whatever is allocated toward education going forward. So if you just look at what we announced a couple of days ago, that Leader McConnell has says there's going to be $105 billion in his proposal in the next package, Jordan, that would mean that more than $10 billion are available for this purpose. Now, of course, that still has to be worked out. The negotiations have to be finalized. But Senator Scott's language, I've been talking to people on the Hill, Jordan, and it very much sounds like the framework in Senator Scott's language is being embraced by Leader McConnell, and I think there's a very good chance we could see it inside the next stimulus package.
Okay, folks, this is what I want you to do. We're going to take that school choice petition that we've got at aclj.org, and now we've got a way to utilize that at the federal level. So if you have not signed that petition yet, go to aclj.org. And I want to hear your thoughts about the idea of kind of pandemic vouchers at the federal level. We'll keep providing you information about it and answering your questions about it throughout the show today at 1-800-684-3110. And coming up next, an expert on this issue, Corey DeAngelis from the Reason Foundation. He is the director of school choice there. Later in the broadcast, we'll be joined by former ambassador to Japan, Bill Hagerty. He's also a U.S. candidate endorsed by Donald Trump in Tennessee, where early voting has already started in the primary. He'll be joining us later in the broadcast, too. Support the work of the ACLJ. ACLJ.org. Donate today.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow, and as we just talked about, we're breaking the news. It was released last night. There's federal legislation that's been proposed by Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina, Senator Lamar Alexander of Tennessee, the School Choice Now Act, basically to provide a pandemic or COVID voucher so that parents can choose how to educate their children during this time of uncertainty about public schooling and private schooling and homeschooling, all of this, so that they have the funds available and it could be used for public schooling, charter schools that are allowed to open, private schools. It could also be utilized for homeschooling, but this would be at the federal level during the pandemic. So it would affect states, even those states that do not have school voucher programs, because of the need that we've been taught. We know about the need because we have over 1,000 folks who have contacted us for legal assistance. And we're joined right now by a very special guest and someone who's provided a lot of expert assistance for us. He actually was on a conference call with our entire legal team that's handling these over 1,000 contacts that have come in. He did a call with our legal team yesterday. It's Corey DeAngelis. He was on right after me on Fox News this past Sunday. He is the Reason Foundation's Director of School Choice. Corey, it's great to have you on the broadcast.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, Jordan.
Corey, first I want to talk, before I get to this federal legislation that just came out too, but I wanted to talk, because I talked about it in the first segment, something that you alerted us to yesterday, and now we have folks who are potential clients at the ACLJ. And it's what's happening in now, I think it's 3 different Arizona cities and school districts. Tell people, because it is outrageous.
Yeah, I just want to first say I want to thank you guys for your work at ACLJ, because look, state constitutions require the governments to provide some type of adequate or free public education to their families. And it's kind of hard for state governments to say that they're doing that if their schools aren't reopening in the fall. So kudos to ACLJ for taking all of those legal inquiries, about 1,000 right now. But the most interesting one that I saw and that we talked about yesterday was Gilbert Public Schools in Arizona, Cave Creek Unified School District in Arizona, and also Mesa Public Schools in Arizona. The governor said that the public schools cannot open until at least August 17th. So what's happening is the public schools, the elementary schools, are reopening, but they're calling them child care centers. And by the way, they're charging families $160 to $200 per child per week for something that they're already paying through the property tax system. So it's essentially a form of extortion. Just imagine if a private school were doing this, if they took your tuition dollars and said, oh, by the way, we're not going to open unless you pay us double, and we're not going to give you your tuition dollars back. And by the way, we'll reopen, but we'll call it child care centers. I think most people would think that would be ridiculous for private schools, and it's absolutely ridiculous, especially when the Arizona Constitution says that the government's supposed to provide a free public education. They're not doing that. They're just changing the name of schooling. They're not giving people the educational services. They're giving people less services than they were before. They're just watching the children, and they're charging families double.
They're charging families double. It would be $640 per student a month, or $160 a week. That's one of the programs. And Corey, this is starting when school would have been starting, and of course, that's public school. You wouldn't be paying anything extra for. We pay for it with our taxpayer dollars, but you wouldn't be paying an extra fee. So they're starting this program when school would have started, which is August 3rd or 4th in most of these cities. And so they're starting it when public school would have started, calling it something different, and charging you $160 a week per student for it. I mean, that's what is so absurd here.
Yeah, it's totally absurd. I mean, just think about it. The Mesa public schools are charging $200 per child per week. You multiply that up by 40 weeks for a school year, it's about the same amount that the Arizona public schools are spending per child per year, about $8,000, $9,000 per child per year. So they're literally charging these families double. And think about it, the families who are going to be most negatively affected by this are the lower income families that rely on two incomes to get by to provide other services for their children, food and shelter and otherwise. And then also the single parent households that were relying on the school system to provide that child care service to begin with. So this is truly a tragedy for families in Arizona right now. And it doesn't seem like it would be a constitutionally allowable thing that's going on in Arizona right now. They're charging families twice for something that's supposed to be free.
So, folks, we're on this. I want you to know that we're on this topic. We're working with Corey. Corey has assisted the ACLJ because remember, for us to do anything, we've got to have clients to represent and people in those districts, in those schools, students in those schools. He's assisted us with that. Corey D'Angelis is the director of the Reason Foundation, their school choice program. He's also an adjunct scholar at the Cato Institute and the executive director of the Educational Freedom Institute. So, Corey, on the bigger picture as well, because we've been working on school choice and defending it in court for decades, but we launched also like a legal initiative. This was before we initially started doing these closure cases as well, but a legal initiative to expand school choice. What do you think, one, about the new proposal? And I know it just came out, but from Tim Scott and Lamar Alexander, the U.S. senators, to provide basically like pandemic vouchers to families so that they have a school choice option, at least during this pandemic, even if they're in states that don't have school choice.
Yeah, I just want to point out really quickly with the reopening debate, it's totally ridiculous that the school system gets to keep your money even if it doesn't reopen. Just think about it with food stamps. If Walmart doesn't reopen, you can take your money elsewhere. If your community college doesn't reopen, you can take your Pell Grant and your GI Bill elsewhere. We should do the same thing with K-12 education. But look, yeah, the School Choice Now Act seems very interesting. I will say I've been kind of mixed on federal school choice before because I don't think the federal government has a legitimate role in education. The word education is in the Constitution. But look, just practically speaking, this if the money's already going to be spent through the stimulus bill, I think a large and substantial portion of that should go directly to families instead of school systems.
Right.
So since this is already money that's already existing, I think it's a good idea to allocate those dollars directly to the families that are in need right now, not to the school systems that are just going to waste the money anyway.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, I think, you know, education is up to the states, and that's who decides their voucher programs and what kind of school choice programs they have. That what the courts have said is basically they can do it, and they can do it. They have a wide leeway to do it as well, and whether it's you want to give vouchers, tax credits, at what level, how expansive you want it to be. Religious schools cannot be excluded, and private schools, charter schools, homeschooling included as well. But then to that bigger picture as well, Corey, because it's something that you've worked on for much longer than just how people are kind of focused on it during this pandemic because everybody's rushing to figure out what they're going to do about school, whether they're concerned about their grandkids, their own kids, their guardians of children, or just in general because of society and the breakdown of society if we don't have an education system. School choice in general, as director of School Choice, the Reason Foundation, with the organization you're the executive director of, and at Cato as well, I know you've got a new book coming out October 7th, because we get calls all the time when we talk about school choice about, well, won't this destroy public schools? And isn't this going to mean a government takeover of the private schools or private religious schools? So you have a new book coming out on October 7th. I tweeted out the link. So if you go to @JordanSeculo, you'll get you can see Corey's Twitter account there. You can follow him there. But you can also get the link to pre-order his book. It's out October 7th, but you can pre-order it now. School Choice Myths, Setting the Record Straight on Education Freedom. Corey, tell people about that, because I'll tell you. I mean, this is a very conservative audience that supports, you know, school choice generally, but we still get a lot of calls saying, but if, hey, my kids go to a private school, if we allow this, is my private school going to be taken over by the federal government or the U.S. government or the state governor?
No, it's voluntary at the school level, it's voluntary at the family level, and it's voluntary at the state level that you don't have to accept the voucher funding if the strings are too onerous. And we've seen a lot of programs that don't have a lot of regulations that tied to those funds. But each individual private school and family should be able to make that cost-benefit decision for themselves. Is the funding worth the additional regulatory cost? And I will say, yes, there's a lot of other myths in the school choice debate that run rampant, such as, you know, school choice defunds public schools or siphons away money from public schools. But the reality is that the public school system siphons away money from families. School choice just returns that money to the hands of the rightful owners. We should fund the students and not the systems. Fund the students directly, and you can even call it universal basic education income, UBEI, if you want. And a lot of people will say also a similar myth is that school choice will harm the students left behind in the public schools, and that nothing is further from the truth. 26 of 28 studies on this topic find that competitive pressures from school choice leads to better outcomes in the public school system.
Folks, we're going to continue to take your phone calls on this, on the federal legislation that was just proposed. To follow Corey DeAngelis, it's @DeAngelisCorey. And if you go to my Twitter account right now, you can follow him because I put his Twitter account there, and the link to his new book, so you can pre-order it on Amazon like I have. The new book is School Choice Myths, Setting the Record Straight on Education. He's the director of School Choice for the Reason Foundation. He is also, so you can find out more about his writings at reason.org. And if you look under experts, just go to Corey DeAngelis, reason.org. Corey, thank you so much for your assistance to the ACLJ and our legal efforts. And thanks for being on the air with us. We'll have you on again soon when your book comes out.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. It was great to have Corey on. I mean, that Arizona example, just to go through that again. So you got three school districts that Corey's identified for us that are saying that, well, since the governor said we can't start school so far until August 14th, and that could, of course, go longer, we're going to start school when it would usually have started, which is like August 3rd or 4th for most of those cities, but we're going to call it childcare instead of school. We're going to use the same building that you pay for with your taxpayer dollars. But for your kid to go to that, your elementary school student to go to that, when it would usually be the time when the school is open, so for them to actually still go to the school, just call it a different name, you've got to pay somewhere between $160 to $200 a week. So you're talking about $640 to $800 a month per student, and that's to go to the same school with the same kids, but the schools are shut down because of the pandemic. Now, if they were offering this service at no cost, that would be a totally different matter. If they were saying, hey, you know, we can't do full school, or so we can't bring in all the teachers right now because of the health concerns, but we can provide care. And since you already pay your taxpayer dollars to fund the school and fund the staff to keep the school going, if you want to, you can send your kids in. That's one thing. But to charge $160 to $200 per student a week. I mean, Than, it's just, I get their creativity. And I would say kudos to them if they did it at no cost, because they've already got taxpayer resources and federal resources. But to charge parents money for this and change the name and use the same building, to me, it's just one of the most absurd stories I've heard yet of what's happening in states across the country.
Well, I would ask a couple of questions of them, Jordan. First of all, I would ask, what are you using the tax dollars that you continue to get if you're not going to use them for this creative solution that you've put out there? If you're going to require private dollars, dollars from people who are already paying tax dollars to provide education for this service, where are those dollars they already spent? Where are they going, Jordan? But look, I think there's really only one solution for this, and that is that if we're going to issue additional dollars during the pandemic for states and localities to come up with creative solutions, Jordan, we just can't give it to jurisdictions like this who are going to spend it this way. We have to make sure that it follows the students and that parents get the opportunity to decide. And quite honestly, that's the thing that I like the most about this legislation from Senator Scott. The conversation that you had just a minute ago with Corey, usually when we see pieces of legislation come from Washington, D.C., Jordan, it means that the feds are making all of the decisions with how the dollars are spent. And that's exactly the opposite in this. In fact, I would encourage people to go read the bill. It's only 24 pages long. And if they read a short section between pages 11 and 13, you will find all sorts of prohibitions against the federal government weighing in. They say that anybody who takes these dollars cannot discriminate against private schools or home schools or charter schools. It cannot be used to exclude faith-based schools, Jordan. So essentially what it does is it takes the money that's going to be spent already and turns it over to parents to decide how they are going to spend the dollars. And honestly, Jordan, I expect we'll see more examples like Arizona. Really, the only way to fully get around it is to make sure that new dollars come forward, don't flow to jurisdictions, but it flows instead to parents.
Folks, I want to go right to your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Let me go to Laura in Texas on line one. Laura, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, Jordan. Thanks so much. I appreciate being here. Appreciate all you're doing.
Thank you, Laura.
So my situation is a little different. I'm in a school district, Fort Bend ISD in Texas, and different school districts are doing different things. Ours has been sort of creative, the way you just talked about with Arizona. I don't know if there'll be a cost. But they're going to learning centers so the kids can go there and then log on to their teachers from there to the online. And the learning centers are going to be staffed by, I'm reading this, classroom aides, extended learning staff, which is before and after school care people, and well-qualified bus drivers. So here's my challenge, though. I have a special needs kid. He has an IEP, an education plan. He's an inclusion child for most of his classes, so he's not in life skills. And, you know, they're pretty much telling me he's either going to have to go to a life skills class or he's going to have to do this or do it from home, none of which meet any of his individual education plans. So what I want to know
is... Tell people, too, who are listening right now, because I think it's important, what the IED, the individual education plan that's offered, but what a life skills class would be, just so people who may not be in that situation understand what you're talking about?
Right, and different school districts call them different things, yeah. But life skills is basically it, where they just learn the basics, like, you know, activities of daily living, how to get through life. It's minor. There's much less academics, in some cases very little. And so my child is actually a little bit higher functioning than some of the children in there in different cases. And so he's in inclusion, which means he's in a regular gen ed classroom with assistance and some modifications so he could be with his peers learning the same types of information they would learn in general education. He hasn't had an inclusion minute since March something, because as soon as all this happened, he was completely taken out of that and had to just do online stuff with the special education class, which is the life skills class, or he had a teacher that would come on and work with him a little bit. But he hasn't seen a peer since the beginning of March, and I have an individual education plan that I've been told I'm going to have to amend and sign off that he either goes to life skills or he goes to online learning and change all of his plan and goals. And I'm not going to sign that because in Texas, not all school districts are the same. In fact, 1 mile from where I live is another school district that is opening school on day one. Furthermore, we have private schools. Yeah. I have one that we've applied to that can help children like him. But I certainly, as a single mom, medical health care worker, I'm a nurse practitioner, I can't afford to send him there without help.
So I want you to do this, because I think you just mentioned two things. One, why it'd be important to have this federal legislation available to you because of these other school districts that are offering, they're right next door. But two, I want you to go, Laura, specifically, because your story we're hearing too often. As I say, too often we hear about those students with special needs who have federal protections. At the federal level, there are laws about education, individuals with disabilities, the Education Act. There's state laws that protect those students. There's the individual education plans that states offer. So they put this into both the federal and state law as things they must give you. And now they're not. And it's not satisfactory to you. So I want you to go to aclj.org/help, Laura. I need you to, at aclj.org/help, you fill out just the contact form so we can contact you, an ACLJ attorney can contact you, and make sure you note that you spoke to me, that you spoke to Jordan. You were live on the air today on Jay Sekulow Live. You told your story to our whole audience and about what's happening. So an ACLJ attorney, one of us can reach out to you and try and see what assistance we can offer you, Laura. But I so appreciate you calling in and telling the story as well. When we come back, folks, we will continue second half hour to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We'll talk more about the School Choice Now Act and former U.S. Ambassador to Japan, current U.S. Senate candidate endorsed by Donald Trump. Bill Hagerty will be joining us in the next half hour of the broadcast, so you want to check that out. And as always, it's a matching challenge month at aclj.org. We need your financial support. Donate online, aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
All right, so folks, we've had Corey DeAngelis from the Reason Foundation. He's the director of school choice there. He's got a new book coming out as well, October 7th. You can pre-order it now at Amazon, called School Choice Myths, Setting the Record Straight on Education Freedom. But he's also been involved helping our team, one, on the policy side of this, two, even on the client side of this. He's identified that Arizona issue where the schools are, that we talked about, where they are changing their name, even though the governor has said you can't open in Arizona at least till mid-August. They're changing the name of the school to Child Care Center, the public school at the elementary level, changing the name, using the same building, but charging parents $160 to $200 per student a week, so up to $800 a month or $9,000 a year if these closures continue, to go to the same place. By the way, it starts when public school would have started, but to go to it, you've got to pay. And so check out his new book as well, School Choice Myths. You can pre-order it at Amazon, and you can find out more about his work at reason.org. If you look under experts, you'll see Corey DeAngelis and see all of his work on school choice. Coming up later in the broadcast as well, a former U.S. ambassador to Japan and current U.S. Senate candidate, Bill Hagerty. Bill Hagerty has been endorsed by President Trump. He was also, again, as a former U.S. ambassador to Japan. He's been on the broadcast before talking about all these issues. Because of a former U.S. ambassador to Japan, you dealt with China significantly. So on the COVID issue, especially, and as you know, as a candidate who's having to campaign during a pandemic, you know, has got an interesting perspective as well. So being in Japan, he was also, I'll talk about with him, you know, he was the ambassador of Japan at a time. He was nominated by President Trump, and he's been endorsed by President Trump. You can already vote in Tennessee now. Early voting for the primaries open. The actual primary is August 6th for Election Day. But you know, he was in Japan as ambassador, and there was no ambassador yet confirmed because of Chuck Schumer for South Korea, while North Korea was launching ICBMs and testing hydrogen bombs. So we're going to talk to him about that, talk to him about COVID as well, and the education issue, the economic issues. So that's coming up, too. If you want to find out more about him, it's teamhagerty.com. Team Hagerty, it's Hagerty.com. That's coming up later in the broadcast. Than, we got this question on Facebook. I want you to just readdress it. It's the new legislation by Senators Scott and Alexander, School Choice Now Act. Gene on Facebook said, how would these vouchers work? Is it full tuition? Would you be left with a balance at a private school? What would the government be covering here?
It's a great question, Jordan, and they would not be one size fits all. So I'm not going to be able to answer this question specifically to a specific purpose. Here's how it would work. As the various coronavirus stimulus packages move forward, and there is expected to be another one debated, maybe even finished as soon as next week, that might be a little ambitious, Jordan, but we're talking about a very short timeline. It is almost certain that there will be money inside there for education purposes. Leader McConnell is proposing $105 billion. I would suggest to you that's probably the floor. What this legislation put forward by Senator Scott would say is that for any dollars in those stimulus packages, at least 10% that is allocated for education purposes have to go to this, what we're calling a voucher program. He calls it a scholarship program. And Jordan, essentially, states would have to give those dollars to private entities inside the state that are allocating those scholarships. Now, they could not discriminate against homeschooling or private schools or charter schools, but it would be those private scholarship-granting entities that would make the decision. So I would just apply it very specifically to caller we just had from Laura. I think there would be plenty of those organizations that would love to consider someone like Laura's child for a scholarship, and then Laura could use those dollars for whatever curriculum and for whatever program she thought met her child best. Jordan, it's not federal control. It's not even state control. It's parental control using federal stimulus dollars. So I think it's a win-win on both ends of the
spectrum.
Folks,
we come back. We're going to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Coming up later in the broadcast, Bill Hagerty, former ambassador to Japan and current U.S. Senate candidate in Tennessee. Over 1,000 families have contacted us. We can provide free legal assistance because of your support of the ACLJ. Donate online at aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. So we've got people that have been holding on. I want to get right to phone calls. We're talking about the new federal legislation that's been proposed, basically like a pandemic voucher, and Than's been explaining what would be available there. It's proposed by U.S. Senator Tim Scott and Senator Lamar Alexander. Tim Scott of South Carolina, Lamar Alexander of Tennessee. It's called the School Choice Now Act. I'm holding it in my hand for our Facebook and Periscope audience. This would basically be like a pandemic voucher, a COVID voucher, for parents to utilize for their students because of all the issues surrounding education, as we well know, at the American Center for Law and Justice. That's happening at the federal level. And, of course, we now have been contacted by over 1,000 families in more than 25 states across the country who believe they may need legal assistance because they're facing some kind of significant hardship, whether it's like Lars' call and it's special needs a child, or it's an economic hardship, or there's no school being offered, or there's no plan, the list goes on and on. And we've talked about that. We'll continue to talk about that. We're able to assign what is a huge team of attorneys handling all of those coming in at aclj.org/help. We're able to do this absolutely free for everyone. By the way, those aren't like the only cases that come into aclj.org. /help every day. We filed just last week in California. We sued the governor and other state officials because of their ban on singing in church. We represent three churches there. It's at no cost to those churches because of your support for the ACLJ. We do all the pro-life cases at no cost to those clients because of your support for the ACLJ. This is a matching challenge month, and we are inundated, folks. And that's great. It's why we exist, is to help people. And I'm excited that we are able to provide a service during COVID, during this pandemic, at no cost to people who really need help, to provide them with the same attorneys that represent the President of the United States before the United States Supreme Court, the same attorneys that represent the President of the United States during an impeachment trial in the U.S. Senate. They're able to get that same legal assistance at no cost because of those of you who financially support the ACLJ. It's a tax-deductible donation, and this is a matching challenge month. Now, I know some folks, you're in tough financial times right now. Don't donate if you are. But if you are able to, this is a matching challenge month, so it is a great time to support the work of the ACLJ as we are inundated with cases and expanding. We're, you know, having to potentially expand attorneys out in states across the country to handle all of these potential cases that are coming in just the last 10 days. If you donate today at ACLJ.org, your donation is effectively doubled. So if you donate even $5, that's like $10 for the ACLJ, because we have a group of donors that say for every donation that comes in through the month of July, we will match that. But you have to take that initial action. There's no match without your initial donation. So if you donate $10, that's really like $20, but all you're charged is $10 on your credit card at ACLJ.org. You'll see matching challenge right on the homepage at ACLJ.org. So I encourage you, if you're a longtime supporter of the ACLJ, it's a great month to donate. If you're thinking about your first donation to the ACLJ and you like what you hear on this broadcast and you like what you hear about what the ACLJ does on this broadcast, donate at ACLJ.org. It's tax deductible. It's a matching challenge month. This is a great time to support our work if you're financially able to. Right to the phones we go. Lisa in California on line four. Lisa, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi, Jordan. Thank you for taking my call. I come at this issue from two fronts. Yep. I am the parent of a child in one of those life skills classes, but I'm also a special education teacher who's been trying to meet the needs of my IEP students, my students' IEPs. The question I have is, I teach in a non-public school that is designed for students who are too violent for regular classrooms. And the thing I'm wondering about with this legislation, sometimes the parents and the students aren't really thrilled with the idea that they have to come to a school like mine, because it's, you know, it can be a little, I don't know what you'd call it, disconcerting. And the districts at this point can say, look, you either take your kid home and homeschool them there, or you send them here, because we cannot have them. They're a danger to other students and to the teachers and things like that. Would this legislation then give them the ability to say, no, my son is not, or my daughter is not going to go to that school. We want them to stay in this program, or take them to a private school that may not have the facilities and the ability to meet their needs there.
Yeah.
Could they use it in the other way to kind of bludgeon schools and districts into forcing their children into places where they really don't fit?
I mean, Than, I think this is always one of those issues that people get concerned about, which is trying to force it. And by the way, Lisa, thank you for your service as a teacher. I know we talk about teachers' unions a lot here, but that's not about the teachers themselves. As a special needs teacher, trying everything you can. But Than, this legislation is not about bludgeoning parents or forcing students into a place they aren't. What unfortunately we're seeing is that happening too much at the state level.
Yeah, no, it's about making dollars available to parents to send their child to the place that best meets their needs. I would say this to Lisa. I'm quite certain that the school she is referencing would qualify under this act to receive dollars that flowed down from the federal government through the scholarship granting entities. But Jordan, it will not be the authority of the scholarship granting entities to determine who is eligible and who is not to use the dollars. They will be actually receiving dollars and then making them available for parents and students to apply for to use at the institution of their choosing. So they are not going to be in the business of telling a student where he or she must attend. They're going to be in the business of offering scholarships for students that apply according to their criteria. So I don't think Lisa has something to worry about as far as the bludgeon goes, but I will say that entity will not be able to force a child to go to her institution, nor do I think we would want them to.
Let me go to Jerry in Rhode Island on line five. Jerry, welcome to Jay Secchio Live. You're on the air.
Hey, Jordan, could you make it a little more clear on the Arizona situation?
Yeah.
The kids would go to the same building at the same school times, but it's called a caregiver center. Who's caring for the kids, teachers or separate contract caregivers? Because if it walks like a duck and it talks like a duck.
Yeah, I think there's probably a mix. I think, you know, they're probably not forcing teachers back, because a lot of teachers' unions have various reasons why they won't go back. And some teachers might be doing it. But still, they're paying. They would have the resources with taxpayer dollars, regardless if it's the students or not. If they want to provide a program like this at no additional cost, because they already get you're already paying for it. We all pay for it, even if you don't use public schools, even if you don't have kids in the schools anymore, or you don't have kids, you still pay for public school, and you pay for it in your state tax dollars, local tax dollars, federal tax dollars. And so if they would have said, hey, we're going to do this program and it's not going to be an additional cost, I think that's thinking outside the box in a good way, because it's going to start exactly the same time as the school year would have started. But what they're saying is, since the governor said we can't have school until at least August 14th, and that could, of course, get pushed back, and we usually start August 3rd or 4th, we'll do this. We'll change the name of the public school to a child care center, and you can send your kid, even though you'd usually be free at this point, so it's not like a special summer program you have to pay for. This is during the normal school year, but now you've got to pay for it. So, I mean, there's the clarity for you. That's the difference, is that unlike a summer program that might exist, where you do have to pay additionally for your child to be a part of, that may exist at a public school, they're specifically starting these cost programs that you have to pay additional money for, at least 160 in one city in Arizona, up to 200 in another city. So that's up to $800 a month per elementary student. It's starting the exact same time public school would be starting there. What does that mean? You wouldn't be paying additionally. So you're having to pay twice. You're still being taxed. School can't technically open, but it is opening, and you can send your kid there as long as you pay $200 a week. I mean, that is how outrageous a plan like is. So it goes from thinking outside the box in a good way to being something that I believe, and again, this is just early assessment, violates potential laws at the state level of the Constitution, as well as potentially federal laws as well. We are already working with individuals, with kids in those school districts in Arizona. We can do all of this work, folks, because of your support of the ACLJ. We have a matching challenge right now at aclj.org. We've had over 1,000 of these families contact us in just 10 days. And that's not the only cases we get contacted about. We do them all at no cost to our clients, like the one out of California and the singing ban in churches there that we filed because of your support for the ACLJ. Donate online, matching challenge, aclj.org. Coming up next, former U.S. Ambassador to Japan, Bill Hagerty, Senate candidate in Tennessee.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow, and it is great actually to be joined in the studio with someone who's been a guest on this broadcast, has been a guest on broadcast when I hosted Sean Hannity's broadcast, as well as Mike Gallagher's broadcast. A fellow Tennessean is in the studio with us today, and that is former ambassador to Japan, current U.S. Senate candidate, a Republican U.S. Senate candidate in Tennessee, Bill Hagerty. Ambassador Hagerty, it's great to have you here with us.
Jordan, please call me Bill, and it's great to be back with you again.
Bill, let me just say this, too. You know, we attend even the same church here in Tennessee, but we, interesting enough, just for our audience to know that while we had recently moved here where our production studio is and joined the church, you were already the ambassador in Japan, and you were nominated by President Trump, and you were the lead of the Trump campaign in Tennessee back in 2016. But, you know, every day, every Sunday during the liturgy at church, you know, we pray for our leaders, and we always prayed for Ambassador Hagerty and his family. And so we didn't get a chance actually to meet in person. We talked a lot through radio and things, and because of COVID, but we do attend a lot of the same places. And now here we are finally back in the studio together, and it's great to have you.
Well, it's great to be with you, and thank you for your prayers for me and my family. It was the greatest privilege to serve in the Trump administration and to represent our nation in the third largest economy in the world. And frankly, Jordan, it's the point where we deal with all of the threats in the Asia-Pacific region. So every day, as the senior American there, I was dealing with issues related to North Korea and, most importantly, China.
You know, you were just endorsed, I know, by someone that a lot of folks who listen to this broadcast around the country really like, Senator Marsha Blackburn, also Senator Tom Cotton. But I want people to know a little bit about your background as well. So they know now that you've been the ambassador. We've talked about that before, and we know the issues facing, you know, with China and COVID. I will talk about that in a second, but your background as well.
I'm a fourth generation Tennessean. I was born here in Tennessee. I'm from Gallatin, Tennessee, a small town, Sumner County. We had a small farm there. My parents were both products of the Depression. My mother started teaching high school at age 19. My dad got a work permit back when he was 14 years old to begin working the farms there in Sumner County and made his career in road construction. Dad never had a college degree, but he worked hard. So did my mom. And they taught us strong conservative Tennessee values. They taught us to love our Christ. They taught us to love our country. They taught us to love one another. And they certainly taught us the value of hard work.
Tell people about your decision to talk to President Trump about, and you've been endorsed by President Trump, and you're one of the first candidates in the country, and especially because, you know, I've worked on a lot of campaigns, yeah, not a lot of primary candidates, especially at the U.S. Senate level, get presidential endorsements. This president, President Trump, endorsed you. But you talked to him as you were making that decision with your family to leave the role as ambassador to Japan during what was, you were there during a time with, I want you to tell that story about North Korea and that you told us just a few minutes before we came on air. But talk about the experience, about why you decided this was the time to run for U.S. Senate.
You know, Jordan, I'm very concerned about where our country is. I feel like we're at a crossroads right now. You just turn on the TV at night, you see it. You see chaos in our streets, rioting, looting. They're tearing down our statues, trying to destroy our history. They're going after our religious freedom, too. You know, you've got Black Lives Matter calling for the removal of Jesus Christ from our churches. And you've got Planned Parenthood right here in Tennessee burning the American flag. I mean, there's no greater act of disrespect. I'm with President Trump. You burn our flag, you should go to jail.
Absolutely.
And frankly, I've got a better idea than the Democrats' plan. The Democrats want to defund and dismantle our police. We should defund Planned Parenthood once and for all. But it's that sort of challenge that they're putting to us. What the Democrats are trying to do is align with these socialist organizations and push us over the cliff into socialism. And we lack leadership on the Republican side to stand up to it. You've got Republicans like Mitt Romney marching with Black Lives Matter. Yep. This is a Marxist organization that wants to tear America apart by its very fabric. Yep. You've got Republicans calling for the removal of Columbus Day. We need senators with guts, with leadership and the backbone to stand up and say enough's enough and to stand for what makes America strong. That's what I want to be, that type of senator for Tennessee.
Let me tell you, folks, you know, we like to bring you interesting guests on this broadcast, people that are going to provide you, you know, information that you wouldn't hear elsewhere. I mean, so, you know, a former ambassador during the situation, former ambassador to Japan with the largest U.S. military base in the world, during what was happening with North Korea at a time when there was no ambassador to South Korea. So we try to bring you these guests on this broadcast, not to tell you, we can't tell you who to vote for, but what I can tell you is that if you want to learn more and you're a Tennessee voter or are interested in supporting Bill Hagerty, you go to Team Hagerty. It's H-A-G-E-R-T-Y, teamhagerty.com. And again, it's Bill Hagerty. But talk to people too, before we get to the COVID situation and schools, because I think that's, and the economics, yeah, I think indeed. That is what's on the top of people's minds. That story you told about taking your family, I'll let you say what happened with while you were ambassador to Japan, no ambassador in South Korea from the U.S. at the time because of Democrats holding up confirmations and North Korea launching ballistic missiles and testing hydrogen bombs and what you did.
Well, it was a terrible time in our nation's history when Barack Obama was president. I mean, if you think about it, leading from behind was their theme. And with North Korea, they called it strategic patience, which I can translate for you what that means. It means looking the other way. So Kim Jong-un significantly ramped up his nuclear ambitions while President Obama was in office. Then what happened? He launched two intercontinental ballistic missiles over Japan, detonated a hydrogen bomb. And I can tell you the tension in Japan was enormous. It was so bad because Japan's the only nation in the world that's ever been on the receiving end of a nuclear weapon. School children are wearing hard hats. They're doing evacuation drills in central Tokyo. We needed American leadership more than ever at that point in time. So I worked with our local military there, the U.S. Forces Japan, and with U.S. Forces Korea, made the arrangements, and I took Chrissy and our four kids over to the border of South Korea. My children were 8, wow. 10, 12, and 14. Together with the U.S. military escort, we crossed the border from South Korea into North Korea. Why did we do that? Because I wanted to demonstrate my complete confidence in the U.S. military's ability to protect me and my family, the same way the U.S. military was going to be able to protect the Korean Peninsula, the same way they were going to protect Japan. That was an important message that only an America could send. And it just underscores the fact that American leadership is needed throughout the world.
Yeah, the primary is August 6th here in Tennessee for the Senate Republican primary. There's early voting already going on right now. If you're elected, though, in November, we're still going to be facing a lot of the situations I know you're talking about right now to people as you travel the state and as we're talking to people on radio every day. One is with schools not reopening, virtual. We're representing right now. We've had 1,000 people contact us in the last 10 days just about potential legal representation because they're facing a significant hardship that could actually be actionable in court or at least at the state level, administrative level. So we're inundated with this at the ACLJ. Yeah. It's all related to COVID, and of course it has the economic impact. So when you make it to Washington, D.C., and after you win in November, how do we address this? We only got about a minute and 15 left, but I know this is just on the top of people's minds.
Well, make no mistake. China caused this pandemic. They took our jobs. They've taken millions. They've taken millions of jobs and hundreds of thousands of lives around the world. I want to hold China accountable. We need to get our schools back open again. We're the most innovative nation in the world. We can do it. We can't afford another shutdown of our economy. We need a person like me with real solid business experience that knows how our economy works. I want to be that representative for Tennessee, the true conservative that has President Trump's full endorsement. There are other choices in this race, but I'm the only true conservative, the only one endorsed by President Trump and endorsed by Senator Marsha Blackburn.
Bill Hagerty, it was great to have you finally in the studio with us on Jay Sekulow Live. Thank you for being with us.
Great to be with you, Jordan.
Folks, to find out more, whether you're a Tennessee voter and early voting has already started, and of course the primary is August 6th for the U.S. Senate primary. Remember, you can find out more at Team Hagerty, HAGERTY.com. That's teamhagerty.com. And as always, check out ACLJ.org. We'll talk to you next week.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.